This hour was brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan, our buddy Sam Mitchell later in the hour. The Raptors are in Milwaukee taking on the Bucks tonight. Fans will be in attendance, about 1,800 fans, 10% of capacity will be there for the game tonight. So a bit of a different feel, and we'll get to that with Sam. And Ray will join us in about 5 to 7 minutes as well, get his take on the Leaf game last night that he was calling. And I also want to get into these Draymond Green clips, which were pretty substantial. I mean, he's a passionate guy. He's someone that is willing to speak his mind, which I always appreciate. I do think we always need to start these conversations with the precursor, because I know it's coming. Just because I advocate for athletes and celebrities or whatever to have opinions doesn't mean I'm going to automatically agree with them. And if we don't agree with them, it doesn't mean that that's hypocritical, you know, because you know it's going to come. You always want people to speak their mind. Then you say, listen, I want them to speak their mind freely because I'm genuinely interested in it, but doesn't guarantee that I'm going to agree, you're going to agree, O's going to agree, Noodles, whoever it might be.
Right.
So Draymond Green is a guy that is a free thinker. He's willing to speak his mind. He loves a microphone, and he offers up, I think, compelling thoughts and opinions. And last night, Golden State was playing Cleveland, and Andre Drummond, as we know, didn't play. We had this conversation yesterday. He's already been leaked to the Raptors, and the Cavaliers have decided you're not playing anymore. Like, you're a trade asset. We can't have you get injured. We don't want you to basically be around the team in any capacity. You can show up and sit on the bench, but you're not playing. So Draymond Green went off postgame. Went off.
Right.
And had a lot of different comments that are multi-layered, and we'll play a few clips here just in a moment because I want us to give our takes on it. I think Ray would have a pretty compelling take on it as well. I will say, and you guys, I don't know if you agree with me or disagree with me, I think the crowd that he is talking to the most is his own fraternity. He's speaking up for his guys, his players.
Right.
You know, players care about players. Like, you guys can speak to it. You know.
I already know where you're going with this. You have no time for what he said, and me and Noodles are going to say.
No. I actually.
Because I already know what my thoughts are. I've heard the comments. I totally agree with him. But go ahead.
I didn't love his comments, I'll be honest.
All right. Let's start. Let's start. We got three clips here.
Okay.
There's some overlapping in terms of the messaging here, but let's begin with this first clip is about, he's using James Harden as an example, you know, and the heat that players take when they want out, maybe compared to how people react to when teams do what they're doing currently in Cleveland with Andre Drummond. Let's hear that from Draymond Green last night.
No one's going to fight back that James was dogging it his last days in Houston, but he was castrated for one to go to a different team, and everybody destroyed that man. And yet a team can come out and say, oh, we want to trade a guy, and then that guy is to go sit. And if he doesn't stay professional, then he's a cancer, and he's not good in someone's locker room, and he's the issue.
What do you guys think of that?
That's a money clip right there, and that's bang on. That's exactly right. You're just going to decide that I'm going somewhere else, so I'm supposed to be some professional and just be like, oh, okay, let me just go home then. I'll go home and wait until I'm traded. I totally agree with that.
That's fine.
And I'm glad he said it.
And I agree with that. But here's the word. Why not be professional? You're still cashing a check. You're still, like, that's the thing. Why not be professional? It's a business.
You're an independent contractor, too. Your own career is
But what he's saying is he has some inside information that they're trying to put the screws to this guy and make him look like a piece of trash because he's not being all rosy and doing whatever. That's the inside information that Draymond Green has. He's not just saying that this guy's showing up in his underpants at practice and doing that. He knows what's going on here. I think this guy's passionate. But I don't think he would speak up in this circumstance if he didn't have the background information.
No, he's not flying off the handle. That's not who he is.
No, but I took it that he was saying we all knew what James Harden did. Mm-hmm. He wore a fat suit where he looked like one. I'm joking.
And he admitted that.
You know
what
I mean?
He admitted
that.
Like,
he dogged it in his last day. Everyone knows that, right? But then he's saying, on the other hand, the organization has told Drummond, like, don't come near us. Don't, we're going to sort this out. Go home. The only thing that I would disagree is, why not be a professional in both sides, in both situations? Like, this is a business. You get paid a lot of money, but you're a piece of meat. You're an asset. And I know that there are feelings involved, and I respect that. But I just looked at it like that was the only thing, the one word I had a problem with. Well, why are you mad for not being a professional? Well, you're still, this is your job. This is your profession. Yes, you treat people with respect. I understand that. And I think that's, to your point, what you're saying. Oh, there's things probably behind the scenes that is a lack of respect. That I would have a problem with. But that's the only word that got me. When I was listening to that this morning, I'm like, well, yeah, you can act like a professional,
and it's
because
in your best
that is your job. It is your, in your best interest to act like a professional regardless of how you're being treated. And then you can get retribution, or you can get, you'll come out smelling like a rose if you take the high road. That's the way I
right,
that's
which
the
is
way
not
I
always
things.
Easy to do. And I
it's
get
not.
That. It's not always easy to do, especially if it becomes toxic. The relationship
right.
really gets ugly, and, you know, publicly things are getting out and everyone knows where they're coming from, but you're putting an anonymous source behind it or whatever.
Right, right.
I would say my reaction to the way players are you know, responded to, or the reaction they gain from wanting out compared to the way teams get a reaction when they decide they're pushing someone out, I think his gripe is totally understandable and accurate, but I think it's misdirected. I don't think that's at the league. That's at the media and the fans. It's the media and the fans that carve up players for wanting out, who call them cancers without really knowing what's going on. It's fans who get emotional and say, you're not turning your back on the team. You're turning back your back on me as a fan. And I think if the NBA, if we're being honest here, the NBA has allowed, you know, the players to take over the league in large part in terms of movement, more so than any other league.
Right.
I mean, and yes, did Harden take heat? Absolutely. Brooklyn still went out and got him. Guess where he wanted to play?
Brooklyn.
Did Anthony Davis take heat? Absolutely. Guess where he wanted to go? The Lakers. They went out and got him. He's still with the Lakers. So, yeah, you take some heat, but I don't think the league is penalizing these guys. I don't think it's the league that is taking run after run after run necessarily as much as it is the media and the fans.
Perception, yeah.
The perception. I will say he went on to comment on the imbalance in terms of penalties for speaking publicly about a situation. And I do think he's spot on about that. The fact that teams can come out and say, we're done with this guy, not playing again, we're going to move him, no fine, no issue. But if a player comes out and goes, I've decided it's in my best interest to leave, $50,000 or $100,000.
Right.
That to me is bogus, and I think Draymond Green was spot on. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here is our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. Ray, I'm not sure if you saw the Draymond Green comments or heard them. I'm fascinated by this, and, you know, this is a thought-provoking topic. He's a passionate guy. He's not someone that flies off the handle. I think he was doing it for the benefit of the players, you know, speaking on behalf of the players. But what do you make of this, you know, the comments that the teams get off the hook when they want to ship someone out, but the players, if they ever want to take their own careers into their own hands and move on, they're labeled a million different words, and they get chastised left, right, and center.
Well, I can compare this rather microscopic topic, right, to whenever there's a collective bargaining agreement. Every time, before long, you know, it starts out with billionaire owners and millionaire players, and then before long, the players are wrong. Now, of course, I've got a built-in bias here, right, as being an ex-player, but inevitably, the players should just be happy to have a place to play. That happens all the time. And I think we can go back through any of the lockouts or the strike or whatever, and that's pretty much what ends up happening. So I don't think Draymond Green is wrong at all that, you know, look, you're drafted by a team, you're signed by a team. The team decides they've got a better player or they don't want you anymore, and poof, off you go. You get a phone call, they tell you to leave, and that's it. And the players feel, of course, that they don't have any recourse other than to do what these star players have done. And don't think for a moment that this isn't far away from coming to hockey.
Of course.
Like it's going to happen. I don't know who or where or when, but it's going to happen somewhere where some star player is going to say, you know what? And it's not going to be quietly done. they're going to say, hey, by the way, I'm done here. I want to move. And then we're going to have to, we'll discuss it in greater detail. But the way the CBA is set up, the way that the league rules are, players have very little freedom of movement, and it's probably, I would say, in the league's best interest to have it that way. So there is a competitive balance. Like, how many teams can win in the NBA?
Five?
Yeah, it's a handful every year. And other years, there's
right.
been one or two.
And so teams. That's not great. That's not great for them. I mean, super teams are awesome. They're fun to cheer for and against because everybody cheers for them until they have had enough of them, and then they cheer for everybody else. But I kind of like that more teams have a chance to win. I can see the economics of that. And so I think that leads to exactly what we're talking about, is that, no, you can't have the freedom to go wherever you want because we'll end up with four teams with a chance to win, which was back in the day, which was kind of what happened. It was the teams that had the most money and could spend whatever they needed to spend.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I would go a step further in terms of the dynamics between the two parties, the players and the league, or the players and the owners. Ultimately, it's an employer and an employee. And there's another
sure.
clip here where he starts talking about, you know, the players should have the same rights as the owners. That's just not realistic. It's not the way business works with any business.
But no, he's wrong there.
He's wrong there.
It's like the owner is the owner. He's not called the left defenseman.
Right.
He's the owner.
Right. And he's got the ultimate trump card, which you guys can attest to based on your own CBA negotiations. This is where I was concerned that Draymond might be biting off a little bit more than he wants to chew. Because if it gets to a point where you want, you know, the ability to say, I'm going here, I'm going there, I want to do this, do that, the ultimate trump card, as you guys know, is the owners come back and say, all right, no more guaranteed contracts. How do we right. feel about that? And then everyone shuts up. And everyone's
yeah.
like, that, you know.
Because
Drummond's still making $28 million, whether he plays or not.
That's where I went, guys. And that's why, I understand there's real people here. There's real feelings involved in that. But ultimately, a lot of these transactions are treated like a business. You are a piece of meat. But these players, whether it was Harden or Drummond, they're still cashing a check. And, I mean, Kyrie Irving is cashing a check. This guy's on Zoom calls for political rallies and stuff while his team's
sure,
playing.
Game,
you know, like,
it.
I mean, I understand, and I thought it was fascinating what Draymond Green had to say. He is a passionate guy. He's a well-thought-out individual, but I just didn't like the one word, you know, being a professional. Like, being a professional is playing the long game, if you ask me. That's just my the way I view it.
Yeah.
Is
yep.
I'm still getting paid. Yeah, I don't like my circumstance, but I'm going to – behind the scenes, they may know the way I feel. But why take it public? Why, you know, make the Harden thing? I thought he deserved a lot of the criticism. Even Draymond said that because he brought it on himself.
He brought it on himself the way he played. Yeah, he did. And there's no dancing around it. And the media and the fans are always going to have those reactions. You can't control it. It's
right.
what comes with the territory. Speaking of which, last night you had the ability to call a game where wow. one team is in first place and leading 5-1 with 10 seconds to go in the second period. The other team is in last place. They end up winning 6-5 in overtime. And you know how Toronto works, and you know, Leaf fans are trying to wrap their historical minds around this. Some people suggesting this is worse than the David Ayers game. You know, watching it play out the way it played out last night, what sticks out to you almost 24 hours later?
Well, okay, so when Matthew scored to make it 5-1, I'm like, oh, boy. Like, just from a broadcast standpoint,
right.
I'm like, now what?
Big picture.
And then, oh, man, we're going to be, you know, because that game was going into both markets, too.
Yeah.
So Gordon and I were, that game was also in the Ottawa market. So you've got to be mindful that there's Senators fans that are watching this game, too, and you got to broadcast it, you know, not just as a Leaf broadcaster, and that matters. You know, Noodles, you know, like it
yeah.
matters. You've got to be a little more big picture, as you called it, in
yeah.
a game like that. Well, Tavares hands that puck away. And, well, first of all, Freddie tries to make a 70-foot pass, there's 10 seconds, 15 seconds left in the period. You're up 5-1. Do you really need to try that?
No kidding.
Just hold the damn puck.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
You know, it's 5-1. Just chew it, and then you can go in, and everybody can have a few yucks. So he turns it over. Tavares, you know, throws that pizza to, you know, to Paul, and it ends up in the net. It's 5-2. Not for a second do I think that that's a big deal.
Me neither.
I think we all
were described it as the Chia Pet giveaway, where you didn't think anything of it, and then it just kept growing and growing and growing.
It's the perfect verbiage.
How about as that Chia Pet's growing, do you think somebody noticed that Zub was coming out of the penalty box?
Yeah,
they probably never heard of him.
Like, well, that's the thing.
Well, they know now.
We had an internal text. Like, who the hell is this guy?
Honestly, I'm like, that's weird.
Did you guys buy what I told you? I just threw something out there, and I said, that's Dana Zubris' son. He just took the brush off the end of his
I had to look it up. I did a Wikipedia search. Like, you may have got me with that one. Never heard of it yet.
But that's
nice
the same penalty, guys. Right? They gave up the shorty, or they gave up the shorty, and then it's not a shorty because he's out of the box, but it's 40 seconds into the period. You think somebody might have noticed that, hey, guess what? It's, you know, early in the period, that guy's going to be coming out. So now it's 5-3, and I remember thinking, still lots of time, you know, they're still up by 2 goals. And then once the game was gone, it felt like they could never get it back. Like they just, you know, the game got loose and scrambly, and all of a sudden, Brown scores, and it's 5-4. You know, and, you know, I mean, just still, they're within a minute of, you know, of somehow surviving the game, and Dadonov knocks that thing out of the air. So, like, for 39 minutes, I actually thought they played quite well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's amazing, that last 21 minutes, though, that erased more than what they had done well in the first 39. Like, that looked like the old Leafs right there.
Well, that's it. We've done it so many times, Ray. And I said that earlier, that the reactions, it's PTSD for Leaf fans. You're like, here we go again. Blown leads, no attention to detail, no maturity. Freddie can't just end it. You know, I don't – you can go through each goal and say, well, yeah, Freddie, you can't, you know, breakaway, tip, tic-tac-toe in the slot, Brown scores. But you're like, can you just make sure they don't score 4 on you here? You know, you got a 5-1 lead. Can you just stop it? And that was the issue. Is doesn't have to be relevant. Likely won't be on Sunday. If they win Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday in Montreal, it's completely irrelevant. You move on from it. Who cares? If it leads to a bit of a spiral, then that's where the Leaf memories start to become more and more clear.
Well, you would think, like, at some point, if you can get yourself into that mindset, and maybe I'm a bad guy to be talking about this because I never got myself in this mindset of just check. You're up 5-1. Now it's 5-2. Just check. You win. You're a better team. You're going to get the same number of chances, and you're going to score more than them if you get the same number of chances. But all you got to do is check. It's like they can't, as a team, get themselves into that mindset enough. Yet, if you look at the previous, I don't know how many games they played in February, they only gave up 9 goals.
Right.
Like, this has been better. Like, defensively, by a long shot, they haven't given up as many shots or chances for most of the season. And then it just came down like a house of cards yesterday. I mean, like, that was really something to see, actually.
Who do you think's the most kind of... I don't know about this question. I kind of doubt my question sometimes. Who do you think is kind of the most
start? This is Larry King right here.
Way to sell that one over.
Imagine that.
Who do you think is kind of the most anxious, Ray, to see what the response is? Is it Shanny and Dubas? Is it Sheldon? Or is it the players themselves? It's actually a pretty good question.
That's a great question.
It is. Good for you.
Yeah, had you not submarined yourself on that question, I would have thought, damn.
I don't know.
Good.
Sometimes it just my brain goes, my brain just sits, there's a lot of stuff going on in there, and I'm like, I don't even know if this one's going to fly. Anyway, it turned out to be
I think
a good
it's the
one.
Coach. I think it's the coach because they've been teaching and preaching and talking about this way of playing, and then it went up in flames one night. I think he wants to know, like, do the guys really believe in this? Because if they do, they'll be really sharp They might not win 9-0, but they'll be really sharp next game. The puck will move quick. They'll check. They'll be tight together. Like all the things that really they've done for a lot of the season, even though it's not, you know, maybe as polished as it might look sometimes, or might, or we might want it to look. I think that to me is the most, I won't say pressing, but the most curious point of the game, of the next game, is to see same team, same guys, can we get back to what we had been doing pretty much, you know, for the previous month or so.
Ray, I'll follow up O's question and not even just talk about who's nervous. Like, who would you circle? Or is there a couple players that you would circle that you'd like to see, you know, just a little bit more from, or guys that have to establish more consistency, like with the
Yeah,
Leafs?
You know what, Noodles? I don't want to sound like a broken record, but, like, most of the games played at 5-on-5, and the second line is non-existent.
What do you see in there, Ray? Like, what
is
it, like, do they, we talked about it earlier, do they have to put Marner back with Tavares? Like, we all know where Noodles was going down, what road he was going down. Yeah. What do you see there? How does it get fixed?
See, to me, it's like they don't attack with any purpose. They're not connected. Remember when you would get a pass out on the wing, and you're like, where the hell is my centerman? I'm standing out here, and he's 60 feet away. And when you struggle and you don't feel it, like you're not connected, that's what happens all the time. Or I'd get, as a centerman, I'd get the puck, I'd go over the blue line, I'd look to my left, no winger. Look to my right, no winger. Where the hell is everybody? You're too far ahead. It's like those two guys in particular, because it's unfair, you know, Nylander or Hyman just got back there, and I do think he's going to help that line. But it's like they're not connected very much. It's like they're playing a different game. One guy's playing one way, one guy's playing another. And to me, it hasn't looked comfortable. It hasn't looked dangerous at all most of the year.
No, it really hasn't. And like, they've been in the league long enough, Tavares and Nylander, we're well aware of how they play the game and how they're most effective. And John Tavares in particular has been scoring goals from within 5 feet of the crease since he was 5 years old and will continue to do that throughout the rest of his career. I just find he never has the puck around the net. Like, it's never on his stick around the net. Like, that's where he's dangerous.
His line mate's involved in that too, because he gets bumped off it and he doesn't really fight to get it back. So then it's like, okay, who the hell has the puck and how do you get it back?
It's like they're always chasing the puck. And Tavares is guilty of that too. Seems like you
that's
isolate
what, that's
him.
Where
like,
I think, Brian, that's, sorry, Brian, that's where I think Hyman can help, is by just, he'll get to the puck first and hold it, and then you can extend a little bit of zone time.
Yeah.
They don't ever have, well, I'll say ever, that's wrong, but they don't often have a shift where you go, man, they were in there for 40 seconds.
No.
And they just got it back and wore them down and had a couple of chances. Oh, they didn't score, but that was a great shift. There's been two, almost non-existent of that.
Two things I would say, like, Tavares, like, Hayes, you talked about at the start of the season, and there's no numbers tied to this, but when you look at Tavares, he looked like he had that jump. He looked like he had, I don't know if it was an extra step, but that step back, where last year, you know, the eye test again, just a slight hesitation in his game. I think that's kind of, when I'm watching him, I see a slight hesitation in his game. With Nylander, I see all the skill, but I don't see him getting in the middle of the ice. Like, how Nylander was dangerous was him taking middle ice, because he's strong off the wall, he's strong on his stick, and he's got a good shot. And the middle of ice has never been easier to get to in today's game, because you can't hook, you can't hold, you can't slash, because you just draw penalties. So that's why guys like Matthews who take middle ice, there's no recourse. He's going to get a shot, or he's going to get his hand slashed or hooked or something. Like, those are the two things that, again, that's my eye test. I don't have the numbers to suggest that, but like, in watching Tavares, I saw the first eight games or something where he had that jump. He looks a little hesitant. Maybe he's in his own head right now, maybe thinking the game. And you know, when you think the game, you hesitate because you end up being behind it instead of, like, thinking, where do I need to be? Where do I want to go?
Reactive instead of
reacting.
Proactive.
And
you know, Noodles, I was just going to bring up, I don't know what that's like for a goalie when you get in your own head, but when you kind of lose your mojo or your confidence or whatever – you're always thinking about, okay, where's that next play, instead of just getting to the next play. He doesn't need to overthink it. He's done this for a long time, and he's been really successful at it. And Nylander last year did get to the middle of the ice. He did get close to the net. It's not right. like he can't. But for whatever reason, it's like they're now paralyzing themselves. I don't know what it's like for the goalie, what it would be for you, but for the forwards, without question, it's you overthink it, you start to move less, you start to watch more, and eventually you never have the puck.
Yeah.
That's what's going on. And listen, they've got a chance at redemption tomorrow night. You got Ottawa tomorrow, Ottawa Thursday, at Montreal Saturday. And the mood is going to change throughout the course of the season. We know that. It's happening throughout the country. And last night was just one of those games. And it's one we'll remember, quite frankly, for quite some time. But doesn't ultimately need to be, you know, the big curse or anything along those
no,
lines.
No, but it sure was. It sure was not surprised or sure not expected at 5-1.
No way. Right. No chance. Yeah. No. Based on all the context of both teams, where it was played, what's going on, no chance.
Right.
We'll see.
I got to say this though before I scoot here. I also learned that there is an actual elephant named Jumbo.
Really?
That Gord brought it up in a game, and I'm like, where do you get this stuff from? And then all of a sudden my Twitter feed is just piled on with people sending Wikipedia from Jumbo the elephant that died a tragic death in a train accident over 100 years ago in St. Thomas. And there's a statue there of this elephant. And
really?
Yeah, that was like outside of the game being turning into a debacle. That was like quite a high point for me there yesterday.
Yeah, I like that you called out Gord. You're like, half the time I don't know if you're being honest or not.
Well, I'm like, what are you doing with this story? And then I look it up and I'm like, hey, man, he's right on it. And Michael Farber sent me a Sports Illustrated article he wrote about Joe Thornton. And in it, he goes through the legend of Jumbo the Elephant. And it's a real thing.
Okay. Well, there you go. Take it to the bank. Homework for the boys tonight. We got to look into that.
There you go. You can sit there. O can ponder his next question, and you can read about Jumbo the Elephant.
That's exactly what we'll do. Full breakdown tomorrow at 5:05. Good stuff, buddy.
Have a great day, guys. See ya.
There he is, Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. If you're looking to lower your car payments, downsize your vehicle, or trade in two cars for one, visit MapleToyota.com or book an in-person appointment. Sam Mitchell coming up, our Raptors analyst, NBA analyst. His take on Draymond Green's comments last night. Raptors in Milwaukee tonight. The benefit of fans being there for the Bucks. Andre Drummond, could he be a fit for the Raptors? Lots to get into. Cannot confirm or deny what we're going to do at 6:05. Can confirm Al's brother is dialed in with his power rankings in about an hour from now. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, cannot confirm or deny what we'll get up to in about a half an hour, but can confirm we're excited for it, and that it's a pretty big announcement, right? We'll get to that around 6 o'clock. Big for us, anyway. Maybe not in the real world, but Al's brother coming up in about an hour as well with his power rankings. He got bumped yesterday. His first introduction to show business is getting bumped off the Monday show for Tuesday. And I don't think he was happy about that. I think he's called his agent.
Did he adjust, though? Did he adjust to the goalies this week, or is it still back to the normal power
rank? I think he's going 1-7 normal with the ability to mix in the goalie breakdown as well. So if we have enough time for that, and I think we have to make sure that we do.
We'll get to him right away and take the stage.
Yeah, we'll give him the stage. So Al's brother is chomping at the bit. We look forward to that. Raptors in Milwaukee tonight. Does not sound like OG Anunoby will return. We've been waiting for it, but I don't think he's going to play tonight. He's still listed as doubtful. Jrue Holiday is out tonight. Health and safety protocols for the Bucks. 1,800 fans will be in attendance. Here is a longtime NBAer, former coach of the year here in Toronto, one of our favorites, TSN Raptors analyst Sam Mitchell. Do you think 1,800 people in the building will have any effect on the game tonight, Sam, or what?
I doubt that seriously, guys, but it's a start. You know, it's a great start that the numbers around the country are starting to go down. And, I mean, we're still in a tough situation, but, you know, hopefully we can start to see the light at the end of the tunnel, the vaccination. People are getting vaccinated at a high rate now. So hopefully things are turning for the best.
How is the vaccination process, Sam? Are you noticing, like, relatives one by one or getting it done and it's kind of a quick-moving process for you? Or how is it?
Well, it's been pretty good, man. You know, speaking to my mother, I have several relatives, including my mom, that are over the age of 65, and they've all said, without a doubt, they've been able to get the first vaccination with relatively ease, with no serious complication or delay of the problem. So that's a good sign. And I think everyday things are ramping up, man, especially here in the States. We're getting a little bit better. We're still not doing the things that we're supposed to do, but we've never done that. So, I mean, that's why our death rate is what it is. That's why we've lost almost 500,000 Americans and going to lose, unfortunately, some more. And I know in the state of Georgia, we've never really shut down after the first initial month, couple of months. It's been wide open for most people. I've been kind of still staying around the house and not going to restaurants and social distances and wearing my mask and things of that nature. Kind of staying around the house, but others have not.
Well, as you said, it's probably not going to start now. So, you know, it is what it is moving forward. But the Raptors are in a position where they're going into Milwaukee tonight, and they're coming off a bad loss. You know, they lost to Minnesota on Sunday night. They didn't play well. They didn't close. We had this conversation extensively yesterday, and I know you and I and us, we've all talked about Pascal Siakam at the end of a game, and he had that opportunity. I mean, Nick Nurse, he drew up a great play, and he had an open lane, and he just couldn't close. And I think that's the third or fourth time we've seen that out of Pascal. As a coach, you know, at what point do you draw a line and you say, I got to draw up a play for someone else at the end of the game? Do you think we're nearing that with Nurse and Siakam?
I don't think so, guys. You got to remember now, Pascal's in the first year of a big contract. So it's way too early to start second-guessing yourself. You just got to figure out, man, look, Pascal had a short offseason. He didn't into the lab and get into the gym and work on his game and refine his game and get better at the things like all players have to in the offseason. He didn't have a chance to do that. So it's kind of like trying to get better on the fly. But, no, it's way too early, man. You still have a huge commitment in Pascal. And I still believe at the end of the day he's going to turn out to be a very, very, very good player. May not be the superstar that everybody in Raptor Nation would hope, but an all-star caliber player to where you make a couple of all-star teams and, you know, a 19 to 22 point score. If he can do that and the others around Pascal continue to get better, Freddie, and if they can add the right guy, I know that's what y'all calling me for.
Yep.
Then if you think about it, guys, this Raptors team is not that far off. If you look at Philadelphia, they're not invincible from the simple fact that we don't know if Joel Embiid is going to be able to come playoff time. I mean, that's a 50-50. And then you look at Brooklyn, that's scary, but with the right coaching, it can slow the game down. And if you could get those guys to play a little half court, it's going to be tough. And you just pound them on the inside. The problem with the Raptors right now, they don't have a team that's opposite of what you need to be able to beat Brooklyn. Right now, the Raptors are a three-point shooting team, space and play team. Well, that's what Brooklyn is. And you're not going to outrun and outshoot Brooklyn. It's just not going to happen. No one's going to do that. So I think to you guys' conversation, the addition of a guy like an Andre Drummond, and I read some quotes, and I read a tweet from Doug Smith that said, Andre Drummond may be one of the few players that can get you 30 and 20, and it doesn't affect the game. Well, to my good friend Doug, and he may have a point, but I would say this. With coaching, we've seen guys go from different situations, and then with different coaching, play totally different. And I'm going to say this, and I hope you guys will laugh. Look at Kevin Durant in OKC, and look at Kevin Durant in Golden State. Look at the change defensively. So it can happen, but I still say you need some bulk if you're going to you need some size, you need some inside scoring, and you need a guy that can rebound with Joel Embiid, and you need a difference maker and a different style to play when you play Brooklyn.
Well, yeah, I saw that scouting report from Doug as well. That's a well phrased, man. I will say that. I like that type of creativity, but 30 or 20, I'll take it. You know, I mean, even if it's not overly effective.
Look, man, you give me a center that can get me 30 and 20, because you know this. If a center getting 30 points, he's not taking 30 shots. He's going to get to 30 points on 18, 19 shots right at the most. So if I can get a center to get me 30, and I know it's not going to be a lot of shots, if I can't figure out how to win with a guy that can get me 30 and 20, then that's on me.
Well, speaking of Andre Drummond, I'm sure you caught Draymond Green's comments last night, where Draymond is a passionate guy, and he was speaking out on what he sees as, you know, an imbalance in terms of the way the league and the media and the fans portray a player either wanting out or a team wanting a player to leave. You know, and Drummond's an example of it in a recent one where he could play, could have played last night. They said, go put your clothes on, you're not playing until we decide where you are going to move on with your career. Meanwhile, if Drummond came out a day before and said, I want out, he'd be fined by the NBA, chastised publicly. How do you respond to that? And do you agree with Draymond Green? And how do you feel about the inner workings of the NBA in terms of player empowerment, player movement, and maybe the imbalance on both sides?
Well, think of it like this. I understand what Draymond Green is saying, but if you think of it from the standpoint, the team is not only protecting themselves, they're protecting the player. If that player, if I know I have a trade for a player that is not in my future, and I put him out there and he gets hurt, and let's say he's in the last year of his contract, and I'm trading him potentially to a team that not only wants him, but is going to re-sign him, and I throw him out there and he gets hurt. Now people are going to look at me and turn around and say, as management, as ownership, we did the right thing. We knew we were going to trade this guy, and yet we put this guy on the floor and tried to play him and win a game, even though we knew we were going to trade him. So I understand what Draymond is saying, but look, that's the nature of the business. And if Draymond Green really don't understand these things, just tell him to talk to his mom, come talk to you guys about how it is in the real world when you have a real job. Well, that people don't care. You know, you think about this. If you work for a sales company and they move, they'll give you 30 days and say, either you coming with me or you can stay behind. That's your choice. I just think, I understand what Draymond's saying. You said it right. He's passionate, but I just think he's a little misguided or a little off track in his comments.
Well, you're 100% right that he is not going to have anyone giving him a standing ovation that's working, you know, 12-hour days, 6 days a week, making $40,000. You know, they don't want to hear
it. You better have a good attitude. And
right.
You can't show up with a bad attitude.
Right, exactly. But what about, you know, from
and
the general...
you ain't got a raise in 3 years, and you've been not going in after one because you know what they're going
right.
to tell you. You're going in after a raise,
list.
You know what your boss going to tell you? You still got your job.
That's right.
That's your raise.
Yep. That's exactly what the response is going to be, especially with a down economy during a pandemic.
Yeah.
I mean, we can all speak to that. But what about, you know, as a former player, like I've always been, you know, fascinated by how past generations approach, you know, current generations. And we have three guys who play pro sports on the show right now. Sam, you were in the NBA for a long time. Owen Noodles, you played in the NHL for a long time. There was a time not that long ago, you'd be flying charter, you'd be staying at a Holiday Inn, you'd be playing three nights in a row, and you're making $150,000. Now these guys are five-star across the board, making millions.
Put that in there. We were happy.
You were happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Comes down to perspective, I guess.
Well, Dave, the problem now is that these guys are making generational wealth money. Think about it. I mean, James Harden was in a position to turn down an extension for $51 million a year. Now think about that. Now think about that. So, look, you have to put it all in perspective, man. And look, I don't have a problem with the money the players make. I don't have a problem with the power they have. I don't have a problem with some of the things that they've asked for. Because, quite frankly, we just didn't realize the power, so to speak, that we had to make things better for us as players and as a union. But at the end of the day, it's still a business. And there are always going to be some things in business that you're not crazy about. But I just think when Draymond Green will never have to worry about these things because he would have made so much money in his lifetime playing basketball that he would never have to worry about these things. But just tell him when he goes home, just go back and check with his friend, like you said, and make $40,000 and work 12 hours a day. And then, by the way, you think you got the weekend off and your boss calls you and say, so-and-so is out sick, we need you to work. They're not asking you. They're just being nice and phrasing it that way, but they're telling you.
That's right. Well, we'll see. We'll see how Draymond responds to that because you know he'll find a mic again soon. He loves it, and I love hearing from him. I appreciate that, you know, he's a passionate guy.
What do you
guy.
Think about a possible Andre Drummond? Do you think the Raptors could use an Andre Drummond?
Absolutely. I just don't know how it's going to work, you know, like that, as has been pointed out, and I'm sure you've seen this, Sam. I mean, Powell's probably going the other way, and then you're going to have to throw in three or four contracts that Cleveland may not want. And he's a free agent at the end of the year. Is he really going to tip the scales where you're going to go and catch Philly, Brooklyn, Milwaukee? Not likely during the regular season. Can you beat them during the playoffs? I think you could get a round or two maybe. But I don't know. I like him as a player. And I like what you said. I agree. You put him in this system, this culture with Nick Nurse. All of a, I mean, all he knows is losing. Played in Detroit and Cleveland his whole career.
Think about this, guys. If you just tell Andre Drummond, man, we just need you to run, rebound, defend, play with energy, offensive rebound, defensive rebound, block shot. And when you get your opportunity, this is the thing that I respect about Andre Drummond. He has gotten better every year he's been in the league. So that's something that piques your interest right there. 3 years ago, I wasn't a huge fan of Andre Drummond, but I've watched him. He's listened to the criticism, and he's gotten better each and every year. And you have to respect a player like that, and you have to realize that he's going to continue to get better. And I just say, look, you just have to find a way to use him and fit him in. But if you can't – look, people forget Andre Drummond was an all-star about 2 or 3 years ago. So he's still a relatively young player. Now, I wouldn't do the deal if I'm not planning on re-signing him. But I don't think Andre Drummond is a max player type guy. I don't think you have to put a max deal on tape for him.
No, I'm with you on that. Raps, Bucks tonight. Enjoy that. And the other games, we'll do it again soon. Thank you, Sam.
Right down, guys.
You got it. There he is, Sam Mitchell, one of our favorites here on Overdrive.
He's the greatest.
He's just awesome.
Best.
Yeah, I heard a bag zip. He's up to something down there. He's doing something.
He's sneaking around with a meat and cheese platter or something.
Yeah.
Love it.
He's always so great to have on. We love Sam. And, hey, listen, it's good to hear that down in Georgia they're moving in the right direction and, you know, get the impression like that is happening around that country. And hopefully, you know, we're not far behind. We'll see.
Yep.
We'll see where it goes. Cannot confirm or deny what we're going to get to in about 20 minutes. Al's Brothers Power Rankings. 1 through 7 on the Canadian teams, 1 through 7 on the Canadian goalies, and I am quite intrigued to see who he has at 1 through 7.
It's my head.
You better get
my
to him right away.
Explode.
It's not like no dinking around. It's Al's Brothers time.
We will.
And it's go time right away.
We will. But Noodles has to be able to respond.
He's
right,
got to be respectful, too.
Well, no.
How am I
not?
When am I ever not respectful to Al's brother?
You know when it comes to goaltenders, that's the only time you fly off the handle. So let him say his thing.
I fly off the handle to anybody who are ridiculous. It doesn't matter if you're Al's brother or if you're on Twitter or if you're sitting at my kitchen table. If you're ridiculous and you just start spewing garbage, I'm going to tell you you're spewing garbage.
All right, let's hope it's not.
Everyone gets treated the same.
Let's hope
that's
it's, you know, not garbage. Let's hope
I don't think it will be. Al's brother is an educated man.
He's
a super fan. I better not see Vancouver goaltending near the top.
Exactly. Holpe better not be number 2 on the list, you know, or whatever.
But
we'll find out.
That,
we'll see. Right. All right, we'll see. We'll get to it in the next hour. We got a lot coming up here. Also, a big anniversary in the movie industry, sports movie. Anyway, we'll tell you about that. We'll get back into it. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Got a weird condo with my man. Guy doing some work at my condo. It was kind of like my Shapiro kind of moment with him. There was just something going on and somebody said, Igor, I just go over there and check up on the reno and make sure things are going okay. And was called Igor.
That's his name, your guy?
Yeah, and I kind of just walked beside him and I was like, what did he call you? And he said, Igor. And
not
I said,
Igor?
That's my Shapiro thing. I said to him, I go, where are you from? And I think it's like Latvia. I go, dude. And I was so stupid for even saying this. It's none of my business. I go, I think your name is Igor.
Were you telling him what his name was?
No, I did. I'm like, I think it's Igor. I go, I've never heard a guy even called Igor. Have you?
I've never. That is a Shapiro. You're right about that. I've never heard someone called Igor.
So I felt stupid, but I'm like, I think your name is Igor. And then I was like, what do
it's
you
his
like?
Name. Yeah, it's his name. Like, obviously, he gets to make that call. And he's told people this is how you pronounce it. But I'm with you on that. I've never heard Igor ever, just like I had never heard Shapiro prior to 5 years
ago. Like, I've never met a Russian hockey player saying, hello, my name's Igor.
No.
Igor Kovalev.
No.
Yeah. Igor Kravchuk. I played with him in Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
Igor. My interpreter in Russia, his name was Igor. Igor, but that is unique.
Hey, maybe it was a Shapiro. Maybe
it
was. You got to get the backstory on that. Maybe he just decided after generation and generation and generation of Igor, he said, I'm Igor now, and I'm out of here. I'll see you later.
I think that's what he did. He just on the fly said, I'm not Igor anymore. I'm Igor. But it was kind of the ring. It was ridiculous for me to even.
Yeah, it's a tough topic to broach. Like it is not in your lane. Like not even a 16-lane highway. You shouldn't even be on.
How can we have an what's the alternative to our names? Brianne?
Well, yeah, but Brian? That's like a feminine version of it. I don't know right. if you can really pronounce Brian any other way. Jaime, you could go with Jaime. You could put a little bit of like a Spanish flair. And right. Geoff, Geoff.
Jaime, hang on a second.
Jaime.
Here.
Jaime.
Yeah.
Jaime.
Oh, yeah.
Jaime McLennan. Jaime Garcia. There's a bunch of Jaimes
isn't it
out there.
What's the Big Lebowski? What's his name? It's Jesus.
Oh, like, Jesus.
Yeah, yeah, I remember he's the like Jesus. The Jesus. He's
the
like,
Jesus.
You got it. He's yeah. like, and don't forget it.
Don't
the Jesus.
Mess with the Jesus.
Yeah.
But like Geoff with a G is Geoff. Like that's an easy one.
Dude,
if you're
yeah.
Geoff with a G,
it's just, don't be stupid. You're being stupid again. There's no such thing as someone called Geoff.
Well,
I think there is a Geoff out there.
No, there isn't, dude. There's no one in the world named Geoff.
I guarantee
ever.
You there's one Geoff out there who's like
so.
A zillionaire. He's a
Get
tech
him on the
zillionaire.
Show. I want to talk to
you
him.
You know what
Geoff.
It sounds like to me?
What?
A case for Jerry Crumb. That's what that sounds like.
That's what it is. Our new segment. I didn't know. That and you got to get to the bottom of it.
Find it.
I am
Find
not getting to the bottom of is yeah. there a Geoff? That is
there
ridiculous.
There is a Geoff. For
okay.
sure there is.
Final hour coming up. Cannot confirm or deny what we'll get to in about 10 minutes. And Al's brother with power rankings left, right, and center. We can't wait for it. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
Alpine Credits.
Yes, it's your English teacher, Mrs. Nelson.
Uh-oh.
You've been using the word approved quite a lot lately.
True, but...
You know there are alternatives like accepted, authorized, confirmed, validated. Let's try. I own my home and would like a loan.
Accepted-ated.
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get endorsed, confirmed, permitted, allowed, okayed, and approved. Some conditions apply. Alpine Credits.
FSRA License 12616.
This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.